Welcome to the Regulating AI podcast. Join host Sanjay Puri as he explores the dynamic and developing world of artificial intelligence governance. Each episode features deep dives with global leaders at the forefront of regulating AI responsibly, tackling the challenges using AI can bring about head-on and enabling balance without hindering innovation.
Welcome to the Regulating AI podcast. We are here in Riyadh at the LEAP DeepFest conference on February 9, 2025, surrounded by amazing companies, amazing people, a lot of technology, artificial intelligence. I have with me Mr. Amar Methavale. He's the Director of Innovation at the Hamad Medical Innovation Center. Welcome to the Regulating AI podcast.
Thank you. It's a great to be here today.
Great. Can you tell our audience, which is a global audience, a little bit about yourself and also the medical institution that you're the director of?
Yes. So, as you said, my name is Amar Methavale. Mm-hmm. I'm AED, the Director of Innovation in ITQAN Clinical Simulation and Innovation Center. It's one of the subsidiary for Hamad Medical Corporation. ITQAN is one of the largest simulation and innovation center in the world. We are one of the top five. And we are doing great job. We are doing a lot of work in terms of the medical education and training, as well on the health innovation. And I think the area is required to have ITQAN because we're acting as a national innovation hub that I think we can leverage the innovation health in the state of Qatar nationally by collaborating with many entities in Qatar.
Fantastic. Amar, everybody acknowledges that AI, artificial intelligence, will have the biggest impact in medicine and healthcare. They talk about drug discovery, they talk about delivery of medicine, they talk about all kinds of innovation. Is your facility organization using artificial intelligence? And if it is, in what form are they using it?
AI is definitely that new technology. I think for me, it's not, we should not consider AI as add-on. Mm-hmm. We always need to think that is a transformative technology. Mm-hmm. It's transforming the healthcare as we practice right now for a new era. And in that sense, I would say that there is no organization worldwide, there is no country worldwide. They did what they call it transforming healthcare using the AI. However, we are, as any other countries and any other organization, implementing highly AI, and we are looking very carefully in many fields like oncology, like in surgical, like in medical education, in training. This is something we always look carefully for it, and we have a very good successful cases. And we are looking forward for a day that AI is not only an add-on, it's not an app installing your mobile. It's actually a new way of communication. So in my view, we did a lot, but the more is still to come.
So I think you said a lot of important things. I want to just pick on a few things that when I talk to leaders in healthcare on the podcast, they talk about opportunities basically in providing healthcare to people that were not able to. General practice, basically today what they're saying is the AI can be like a general practitioner of medicine, obviously with certain caveats because AI can hallucinate and things of that nature. So if somebody in villages or rural areas and around the world did not have access before, they have access to that. But also you talked about oncology, taking x-rays and radiology charts and using AI to identify. AI has been shown to almost have a 90% accuracy in terms of diagnosis of cancer, et cetera, compared to human. Obviously, there needs to be a human in the loop. Are you looking at some of those things from the health innovation standpoint?
100%. And we're actually looking from a perspective of an operation in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And I think we are always saying that the radiologist will be the first one being disrupted, I guess. And I'm also working from a perspective of startups. Mm-hmm. Because we do believe that big organization like the organization I'm working in it's not flexible enough, it's not agile enough to transform radiology using an AI. There's a lot to invest time and effort and operation, and keep in mind that you are seeing a big portion of patients and you cannot stop all of that and start transforming. So it usually takes time to do this. The best way forward is what we are doing at the moment as well in Qatar, is we are actually doing a lot of national acceleration for startups. And I do personally work with 2-3 startups. They are focusing on the area of AI radiology and how we can improve diagnostic using the AI. The question, what I really liked about it, it's people always focus on AI as a more on elite technology that transform the niche service of healthcare. But you said it differently, and I'm totally agree with you. For me, AI is actually a way better tool than leveraging healthcare for rich people that they already have an access to a good care. It actually should be leveraging the healthcare in Africa, where they don't have any access to any point of care. In Gaza, where we are almost every country is, the country is the whole demolished, and they don't have any access. For me, building a hospital, building a traditional system of healthcare as we see it, as we know it, it will take time. It will take 2-3 years at least. However, we can replace that, and it will be a very good instrumental start for leveraging AI and to improve accessibility. I have seen this in Africa going very well, like diagnostic for retina, to know if you have a malaria or not. They don't have enough hospital, they don't have enough practitioner to go and check that. And I tested myself. I was in Africa for doing, taking care of some charity project in a hospital, and I was suspected that I've been diagnosed with malaria. No physicians to tell you that this is right or wrong. I'm not able, I have a fever. I don't know whether I should take a medicine or not. And one guy that I know, he has a device as a patent, is still in a very early trial. And with AI diagnostics, he make a check for or diagnose that I have malaria through my eye retina. So I think this is a very good important, because how many hospital, how many physicians you can see against how many one device of AI can see many patients. I think the comparison is not even fair for the traditional medicine, as we know.
So I think you made a fantastic point. It's a topic very dear to my heart. It gives health equity, as you said, parts of the world where there are not physicians, because physicians will generally tend to go in bigger cities, bigger regions, etc., in places, maybe war-torn places and all those things. So I think that's a very important message. Other thing I wanted to ask you, there were several important points you talked about. One issue that comes up when I speak to leaders like you in healthcare is there is patient data that goes into healthcare, which the AI will absorb. Patient data confidentiality becomes an issue. Whether it's from an ethical standpoint, from a policy standpoint, how do you look at it being based in such a large institution, being based in Qatar? Is Qatar or your institution, do you worry about some of these issues?
Of course. Patient information is the biggest concern for anyone that he wish to go for a new patent or a new technology or transform the health. This is number one aspects that you need to consider, and you have to make sure that this is careful. I was presenting in a panel discussion in Cybersecurity Summit, Global Summit, in 3 days even before I come here. And we were discussing the AI impact for cybersecurity, because basically patient record is a very rich data that everyone is actually interested in to act and to have acquisition for it.
Yes.
It's as equal as important as your money information or bank information. And we know that this is even can be monetized in very wide aspects. And I'm telling you right now, hackers are majority using the AI.
Yes.
And to be honest, it's become a chess game. So they have an AI. I need to use the AI. There is no inevitable other solution other than this. I need to use the AI. So it's a chess game between equal forces, between equal power. Qatar is very concerned about patient confidentiality. There is a national project to cover that. And there is a lot of regulation. Very soon, we are waiting for AI governance as well, law to be coming published in Qatar. We are all excited for this moment because I think it will regulate a lot in terms of the patient record. I have to enforce, though, that let's not use the patient information record or patient data as a scary part. Right. Everyone wants to come with a new idea that, no, this is, will be breaching the patient information. Yeah. I think there's always ways to get around that. And I think AI gave us a very strong weapon to actually go and defend this concern.
So you touched a little bit in terms of rules coming in.
Yes.
Is Qatar working on some AI policy regulation that is going to come, you know, to just to put some guardrails around it? Talk to our audience about that.
Yes, Qatar is like any other country. They are very advanced in healthcare and especially in research. Mm-hmm. Hamad Medical Corporation is one of the leadest organization worldwide in terms of the healthcare academy and research and learning. And I would say that AI being in the focus at the moment, leveraging healthcare, using the AI, it can be risky if you don't add the right boundary.
Yes.
The governance, the ethics, AI ethics. I think we are keep hearing news that AI ethics will be and governance will be definitely issued. I'm also aware that there is an AI committee happening in Hamad Medical Corporation where they will help both leveraging and adding boundaries for the use as well to make sure things are safe, data is safe, and practice is safe.
So that's very good. So Qatar is really advanced, that's working.
Yes.
Because I can tell you in the United States, we don't have regulation. EU has regulation, but we don't have. So
yes.
Qatar is really working, putting a framework together. The other question, you touched a little bit about the startups. Your background also is you worked on a startup.
Yes.
You're a mentor.
I'm entrepreneurs and a mentor, yes.
Yes. How important it is, tell our audience, because large foundations or healthcare institutions, they say we've got all the talent and innovation here. But I think what you're saying is, which is very important, that a lot of innovation happens outside, that you need to look at that too.
Look at here.
Yeah.
Right? What is better than this?
Yeah.
And I will go back from Riyadh to Qatar, where we have the Web Summit.
Yes.
So two consecutive events happening in a two GCC countries and having the Gitex also in Dubai. Gitex in North Africa. I think the area, the whole region right now has become a very transformative.
Right.
You understand it cannot be only the US effort to leverage new technology.
Yeah.
I think we have the role to do, so the role to play.
Mm-hmm.
This is a wealthy countries, and I think what was missing that we, for years, we thought that we are consumable or consuming market. Now I think with the leverage, with attracting the right talent, look around you.
Amazing.
Thousands of innovators from across the world.
Yes.
1,000 plus speakers. Imagine how many thousand there are attendees, delegates, investors, VCs, startups.
Yeah.
The same we'll see it next week in Qatar in Web Summit.
Well,
I think we are in the really flipping stone here. In a few years, you will see this is the new innovation hub, the GCC.
Yes.
And I think they deserve it. They did work very hard to this point, and today it's an evidence of success. Web Summit is an evidence of success. The number of the startups we have for every single accelerator is an evidence of success. I think things are changing to the better.
And you have a young population also, right?
Yes.
So that does a lot of things in terms of innovation that happens. One question I had for you was, do you work with mainly closed source or do you work with open source also? What is the thought within the health sector, your innovation center, as well as in Qatar in terms of open source? You've seen what's happened with DeepSeek and other things. What are your thoughts on open source?
Interesting. Last week we had a discussion on a dinner between AI experts from across the world and some people from Hamad, very interesting in the AI. And we were discussing that Open resource is amazing. It's good for us. It's not bad. Why only counting on one source?
Right.
What are good about the DeepSeek is actually an open source.
Yeah.
So basically, you can use it to develop your own LLM language.
Yes.
So it's no longer it's a job of large companies or large country because it's a very high expenditure.
Yes.
Anyone can do it, basically.
Yes.
We were discussing one of the AI experts. He was saying, I'm downloading this and I'm actually looking for all the transaction, the formulas, the algorithms, how it works, and I adopting and he changing this to suit the new things here in the Middle East. I think this war, it might be bad for the countries that you are in, but for me as a user, as an entrepreneur, as an applicant, I think it's the best thing ever. So everyone is trying to compete. And I'm telling you something, rather than having one monopoly and doing this in a slow pace sometimes because of the finance or because of the budget or because of even the innovation talents, I think being many countries right now in this war will definitely accelerate the race.
Do you think Qatar, with its talent, with its resources, should look at putting building its own foundation model with its language, culture, history?
Actually, in the MedTech and in Web and Open AI Summit, they announced Arabic AI engine Alfanar.
G42 is doing something with them.
Yes, and UAE, I know they are developing something. I think Saudi, they developed something. And the whole idea that they are enriching the AI content with Arabic language, which is, I think, was a big weakened point really there. So yes, Qatar is having a great projects. I know the team is working behind that. It's a huge team, a huge effort, amazing talents, big expenditure by the country. I think honestly, enriching the Arabic language in AI with an AI in content in the AI domain is the best thing we can do here, because I can tell you, I may use many things in my research and in healthcare, but I never seen a good Arabic trusted reference that I can use. And I think Alfanar and similar projects, it will definitely do a very good well for all researchers like myself.
No, I think that's a very good point. Now, when you look at healthcare per se, you know, the evolution of healthcare, do you think the education that we give to physicians should also start incorporating some of these artificial into, because the younger generation people are going, the physicians are growing up on mobile phones, and AI is just like being able to dissect today. AI has got to be one of the key things to have. So should our medical education also change accordingly?
You know, few days ago, I was delivering a workshop in Qatar about AI innovation. One of the provocative questions I've been asking always, you start by the question, AI is successful in healthcare and leveraging healthcare. Mm-hmm. The second question is, will AI replace doctors? And I would say that we concluded this 2 hours of discussion, a very active discussion. I've never been seeing an audience like that before. 200 plus, we are all in provocative discussion. Everyone wants to speak and show his opinion. People are debating together.
Wow.
Those amazing vibes. We concluded that AI will definitely replace doctors, but not yet. However, now, as of now, we concluded that AI is probably will help doctor as a co-pilot more than it's an autopilot, right?
Yes.
However, this is will leverage one point here, very strong point. If we think that AI will take a big part of the doctor's work and doctor work will be more focused on communication with patient, is this a good chance for us that would change the curriculum for College of Medicine, College of Nursing? Because maybe I don't need a doctor that is very strong in diagnostics. AI will probably take this forward. Do I need people maybe with more communication skills, more with the soft skills, where more professionalism skills, maybe with mindset thinking, maybe with high level problem solving, maybe strategic, maybe they know more about the health economy, maybe they know more about
compassion.
Yeah. Delivering bad news.
Yes.
Do we think that this is the time right now to impose more of this soft skill?
Yeah.
Because diagnostic will become a diagnostics, right? And I know many doctors right now, they are using ChatGPT with all the constraints. and in really using diagnostics.
Yeah.
So it seems diagnostics is taking big part of the AI, will take it from my daily life as a physician or as a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And this is will leave big part that I want to excel really, right? If someone is taking big part from your job, mm-hmm. you need to be a very good in the other part. Otherwise, if this also taken, this is will be problem. Do we can see maybe that not necessarily physician, they take care of the communication. Do we see another way of healthcare being transformed, delivered, in a new operation? I don't know. But I think the horizon is green and light. And I think things will change and curriculum definitely need to be changed.
Well, that's, I think, very important word that you've given.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being with us. Our audience is going to love this. And thank you for telling us and informing our audience about the amazing things happening in Qatar and around the region. So thank you for being on the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Amazing. Thank you for everyone.
Thanks for tuning in to the Regulating AI Innovate Responsibly podcast. You'll find links in the show notes to any resources mentioned on the show. If you're enjoying our podcast, please subscribe so you'll never miss an episode and leave us a 5-star review.